Hello, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Jason Agnew here. Coming up next, a sample of one of our Patreon podcasts just to try to entice you to get you to sign up, and then you can get a podcast in your inbox each and every day. It's only $1 a week. Sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio, and you will get, actually not one, but two podcasts from Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo each and every week. We affectionately call them the old fucks parroting the young bucks because they cover All Elite Wrestling. They started with doing Dynamite, but coming up next, a review of Friday night's Rampage show, which again, you can get both of those reviews each and every week straight into your inbox for only $1 a week. That is it. Sign up patreon.com/SNME Radio. But coming up next, the old fucks review Rampage.
Hello, everybody. Hi, it's Joe and Mouth back here once again. Old fucks get to do double duty every week now that AEW has two TV shows. So here we are. It's now official. It's, I guess it's officially Saturday now as Joe and I start the podcast. Since tonight's edition of Rampage was 2 hours from 10 till midnight, the second part of the Grand Slam show. Joe, how are you doing? Did you have to get out the coffee or the tea to make it through this one, or were you okay?
No, I was good. I was actually looking forward to the show, so I was pretty hyped, leading into this.
The energy kept you awake. Okay, well, yeah, I'm guessing you probably love this show because it had even less promo stuff than they did on Wednesday.
I was really happy. Like, I know that there were a few promos, and I got to tell you, I think I'm a little burnt out on promos, because even those promos, I was like, oh my God, please be short. But for the most part, I really dug the action in the show. I think this is, I'm not saying I hate promos, but I do tend to like more, you know, wrestling centric shows as opposed to promo heavy shows. So these last two shows have been really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this was, again, like Wednesday's show, definitely with a pay-per-view feeling, pretty well basically just going from match to match. And much like they did on Wednesday, was starting off with Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, they put CM Punk in the opening match here. Again, I think smart. People are coming to see those two guys in particular, so you should get them out there right away so they'll stick around. So we started with Powerhouse Hobbs against Punk. Ricky Starks, Taz, and Excalibur were the commentary team for this show. This, I thought that was weird. No JR, no Tony Schiavone, no Jericho. Well, I guess Jericho was in a match, so he's not going to be there. But no Mark Henry this time either. Well, how did you feel about Ricky Starks, Taz, and Excalibur on commentary here?
Well, I mean, Taz and Excalibur actually doesn't bother me because they do dark, and they're actually, like, I like them on dark, so right. Not a problem there. I'll admit, like, I was kind of excited that Ricky Starks, when I heard he was on commentary, but honestly, I kind of feel that he didn't quite live up to it. Like, I've heard him better on commentary, I guess. But I guess maybe the difference is that he's only been like on commentary for a match or two, whereas this was a 2 hour thing. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. For a while it was almost like Ricky Starks was almost not there. Like, I didn't notice him, and he would, you know, he was very, I don't know if quiet is the word, but he was certainly not, he certainly wasn't much of a presence for, I'm going to say a good, you know, a good half hour to 45 minutes of the first hour. And then it sounded like he started loosening up in that second hour. The Taz Excalibur didn't bother me too much, but I will say what did bug me up until probably near the end of the show was that, like, during this match, and I know we're going to get into the action itself, but during this match, I found that Taz was almost overly complimentary to CM Punk and even Darby Allin, saying how, you know, these guys are really tough. And meanwhile, his own guy is in the ring, and I was expecting him to be the heel manager. And like, there was quite the disconnect in that first match.
The problem for me with this, I agree. I was not, I really didn't think Starks did that great of a job. I thought for a show of this caliber, we should have had the regular, like it should have been. I know JR doesn't do Rampage, but it really probably should have been JR and Tony and Excalibur, I think, on this show. This is a high end show. I thought it was kind of weird to put someone like Ricky Starks in this position. And I do think that there are a couple parts with him and Taz where, to me, they just got annoying. I thought that it really wasn't working at all. So I was surprised that they put this team on this show. I would have put your star players out there.
Yeah, like at least Tony, or if not Tony, you know what, get Paul White out there. He's actually not bad either, right?
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, I will give them credit. They did take Mark Henry off there, so that was a step in the direction. Okay, so this one, Punk gets started. Punk goes after Hobbs' legs right away, trying to work the leg, take the big man down. Punk did a Russian leg sweep. So Punk ran wild for a bit until Hook distracted him somewhat easily, and Hobbs corked him and took over. They did a pick and pick in this match for some reason, and I'm not really sure. It was only 90 seconds, so it was short, but I don't know. I thought that was weird that they would do a pick and pick in this first match.
Well, and especially considering that on the Wednesday show, like they did a pick and pick, but it took a while to get there.
That wasn't until at least 20 minutes into the show. Yeah. Right?
Like maybe unless like the commercial breaks on a Friday are different than on a Wednesday. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But like I was a little I was a little shocked by that because. Like, I didn't expect this match to go a time limit draw, but, like, so I kind of thought, oh, maybe we'll see this entire match without a pick and pick, and then it came fast, and it was like, and it's a 90-second one, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Even 90 seconds, it's still too much, I think. So they come back, Hobbs uses a bear hug, which is great. I love seeing a guy like him use an old-style thing like a bear hug. Punk did a great-looking swing and neck breaker and then did the Macho Man elbow off the top for a near fall. He tried for the go-to-sleep, but Hobbs countered with a spinebuster and took control once again. He did his stampede slam for a near fall. Punk did a Hurricane Rana off the top for a near fall.
And, dude, it looked like Hobbs hit his head on that, like legit.
It was not exactly smooth. Yeah. That was not the smoothest of Hurricane Rana. I think that was a tough one with a guy so big to do that kind of move. You know, it's tough. Punk tried to get his armbar on there, and Hobbs lifted him up, actually, and dropped him. So that broke the hold. But shortly after that, Punk gets to go to sleep and gets the pin on Hobbs. No real surprise here for me. I think we all figured Punk was going to win. It was an okay match. It wasn't a barn burner or anything, but it was an okay match.
You know what? Like, okay, so actually, during that match, like near the end, Hook came up on the ring apron, and then like Hobbs knocked him down. You know, that sort of the traditional where, you know, the babyface looks like he's going to be distracted, and the heel runs over and hits his own guy.
Yeah,
it was kind of nice to see Hook get some comeuppance, because like, for whatever reason, he seems to be very protected. Maybe he's just not ready for any physicality, but. Like, you know, when Punk went after him, you know, like he got out of the ring, and so it was nice to see Hook get hit, and I don't mean that in like I want to see him get hurt, just from a storyline perspective, I dug that. The one thing I will say though is that I was actually like, I mean, you know, Punk is Punk, but I was actually very impressed with Hobbs. I thought the opening match in front of arguably the largest crowd that he he's ever wrestled in front of, or, you know, the largest crowd that AEW has ever had or close to it. I thought he held his own. I thought he looked good in the ring. He got some good heat from the crowd, like the correct heat. The other thing I like too, and I don't know if you noticed this, but right at the end, after Punk pinned Hobbs, it looked like he was sort of saying something to him. I guess, you know, he was jawing to him, and he kind of patted him on the chest. Yeah. A little show of respect. I appreciated that because, again, from a bigger perspective, not necessarily just wrestling, but just from a bigger perspective, you know that Punk has come back to work with the young guys. And, I, again, even though he won, I thought that Hobbs looked good in defeat. So, you know, like I really dug the match. Maybe like kind of what you said, it was an okay match in terms of like the action itself, but I just dug the overall thing of it with Punk working with a younger guy, the younger guy getting a lot of offense in, you know, looking good. And then, you know, again, a little bit of a show of respect there.
Okay, so from this, we go to, it was a very, very quick little promo vignette here with Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa, and Nyla Rose. And basically, they're just quickly, each one gets a quick line in there. Thunder Rosa says she does whatever she wants. Jade said her and Rosa would give the fans what they want, and she said she was going to take out Nyla, and Nyla said she would put Jade Cargill down. So it was very quick.
I gotta tell you, I am fascinated at the potential of a Nyla Rose Jade Cargill match.
Wow,
I think it's just because it's just gonna be a train wreck. But
I'm honestly interested in seeing it. Jade might get hurt legit in a match like that with Nyla. I don't know.
Dude, Nyla might get hurt legit. So
that's true too, because Jade exactly is not exactly a seasoned veteran at this stage. So, yeah, is that the plan though, to do like a three-way?
I don't know, because like it sounds like you know, you're gonna have interchangeable matches with those three, because like again, they all kind of challenged each other. Like maybe it does lead to like a triple threat, and quite honestly, that might be the better idea, because having Rosa in there, you've got someone that can actually work and that can bounce around for both of those women.
Yeah, and you can do lots of spots where Jade gets knocked out and she's not part of the match and stuff.
Well, and same with Nyla, right? Like you could book it in a way where they take out Nyla, and then you know the other two brawl, and then I think, and again, this is complete fantasy booking, but you would keep any spots between Nyla and Jade very short, have them pound on each other for a couple seconds, and then Thunder Rosa comes in and works. So.
Yeah, I would work the thing where they take Jade right out at the beginning, so she's out for like three quarters of the match. Yeah,
even if she wins the match with the Jaded, that's fine, but take her out for a while, you know?
Okay, so from here we go to the six-man tag with Adam Cole and the Young Bucks against Christian with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Don Callis comes down with them, as does Luke Gallows, but no Carl Anderson for some reason. I'm not sure why he wasn't there, and I don't think they addressed it. So Callis goes to join the commentary team, of course. This was great. I mean, there was like so much going on in this match. I mean, I have some of the highlights here, but to kind of light out this one, it was just what you'd expect with these guys. It was crazy. If you're one of those ones that gets on the back about the ref and the rules, you probably
would have hated it. Like, I agree with you. Like, knowing what this match was going to be, I didn't even worry about the ref.
No.
It's like the ref's just going to be there to count.
Yeah.
And you're just going to get wall to wall action on this, which is fine.
Double teams and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So, Christian and Matt started things off. The crowd was into it, but they did seem a little bit tired. Maybe after Punk. And again, we have to remember they taped like Dark and then Dynamite and then this as well, all in one night. So, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if the crowd started to get a little bit tired at this point.
Well, and the other thing I heard too is that like they didn't do it in order. Like I think they did like, you know, Rampage Part 1 at the beginning and then Elevation, or sorry, Dynamite and then Elevation. You know what I mean? Like they didn't do it like,
oh,
you know,
is that right?
So, okay. So like I wonder.
So you mean Rampage didn't immediately follow Dynamite when they taped it?
Yeah, or something like that. Like I just heard it was kind of like Rampage anyways was taped out of sequence. So I wonder like, where hour one was might have been the fourth hour. You know what
right.
I mean? And
yeah.
You got a tired crowd, right? So.
But the six guys went nuts. They were all over the place. Jungle Boy did a double arm drag on the Bucks at one point. There was this great heel spot. Loved it. Where Cole had Jungle Boy kind of like in a camel clutch.
Oh, yeah.
Bucks, The Bucks come up like they're going to kick him, and they both plant kisses on Adam Cole. I thought, oh, my God. They both kissed Adam Cole on the side of his head. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Well, and then right after, they hit the double dropkick on Jungle Boy, which is great. Yeah. I love that spot. Because, when they were running against the ropes, I could see Luchasaurus there. So I immediately thought, oh, Luchasaurus is going to stop this attempt by tripping them up. And he didn't. And I'm like, what's going on? And then when they kissed Adam Cole, I was like, oh, that is so good. It's so funny.
I like that spot a lot, too. I thought it was really funny. Spot, eventually, Luchasaurus gets the hot tag. The crowd really enjoyed that. He chokeslammed. He picked up Cole and chokeslammed him onto Nick Jackson, which looked good.
Oh, that looked good. Point, yeah.
Yeah. At this point, everybody's in there. Jungle Boy did a Hurricanrana on Nick. Jungle Boy got the snare trap on Matt, but then Gallows distracted him, which allowed Matt to get out of it. The Bucks threw Christian off the ramp. They did the same to Jungle Boy. So Luchasaurus and Cole were legal at this point. Cole gives Luchasaurus a Shining Wizard, and then he gives him the Panama Sunrise, and then the Bucks give him the BTE Trigger, and then Cole also gives him the Boom on poor old Luchasaurus, and that's it. He can't handle it, and they pin him. So the Elite wins this one. Again, I think that's what people were expecting in this one. I didn't expect those guys to lose. This one was the usual, Young Bucks-style match, Jurassic Express, just kind of crazy everywhere, all over the place. But the crowd was digging it, and that's what people want out of the Bucks when they see them anyways.
Well, and you know what? There was a tad bit of storytelling because you did have somewhat of a stare down between Jungle Boy and Adam Cole, and the announcers were really pushing that too, right? So,
and they did. I believe they did announce that for Dynamite next week.
Yeah. So, but otherwise, yeah. Like again, if you're a stickler for the rules, yeah, you probably hated this match. But if you take it for what it is, it's a standard sort of Young Bucks-ish type of match. This was a fun match. Although I got to tell you, man, there was a point. I think it was after they got into that whole it was around the area where Lucha went for a double choke slam and then Adam Cole came in, and it was when he choke slammed Nick onto Matt Jackson or whoever it was. But that was the point where I was like, oh shit, I can't keep up with this. Like, it was just going crazy. Exactly.
There's a lot of times in these matches when you're taking notes where you just throw up your hands and go, okay, that's it.
The next line is
they are going crazy.
Yeah. Like, I was trying real hard to keep up, and when they got to that part of the match, I was just like, nope, can't do it. Relevant points here. Very fun match. Crowd was super into it. Like, this crowd was super into everything. And again, kudos to them for keeping up that as much of that energy level as they could for as long as they did. I mean, that's a long night of tapings, right?
Okay, so after this match, they did a quick taped promo for Cody's new reality show, Roads to the Top. Are you interested in this? Are you going to watch this?
If we can get it, I'll probably check out an episode or two. But the thing that fascinates me about it isn't so much the whole Cody and Brandi Rhodes thing. It's more of, I just want to see what the behind-the-scenes stuff looks like.
How do they approach it?
I'm a stickler for that. I'm fascinated by all that stuff. They showed some stuff where with QT Marshall and Paul White and Tony Khan and Cody talking to Miro. It's like, yeah, like I want to see what that looks like. Now that said though, and this is not no offense intended to Brandi or Cody, because I like both of them, but I really am not interested in Brandi and Cody's real life.
No, I'm not a big fan of reality television anyways. I never have been. So, after two episodes of Total Bellas, I was out of there. I'm not really into it. So I might check out an episode, but I can't see myself watching the whole series.
Oh, and just for our friend Bethany Chambers, we are not going to be doing recaps of that show. Sorry,
yeah, sorry. No, yeah, definitely not. Yeah, sorry. Let's put that out there right now. Boris and Matt can take that one on if they want to. They can run that one down.
That would be the podcast where we would talk about our personal lives for 15 minutes.
Yes, the ratio would be off for sure. Okay, so we get the men of the year here against the Inner Circle. So it's Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page against Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Lambert, of course, comes out with Sky and Page. This one was pretty good as well. Jericho and Sky kind of started things off. And Hager and Jericho got to work over Ethan Page for a little bit. I noticed that Jericho, there was a couple things that Jericho did were kind of heelish, I thought. There was one spot where he was choking Page in the corner behind the ref's back, which I thought was very heelish. Yep. Even though they are the baby faces in this. But the crowd loved it. They went to pick and pick in this one, so it was Page and Sky working over Jericho. There was a lot of stuff. Now, I don't know if you watched the pick and pick on this one, but more so than most matches, there was a lot of stuff going on in this pick and pick, more than usual. It went back and forth. It didn't just stay with the heels. There was a couple of near falls in there as well with dives off the top rope and stuff. So I was surprised that there was – it seemed like a very busy pick and pick, and usually they try to slow things down when the pick and pick is in there, right?
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, Hager actually got like a – or sorry, Jericho got like – no, Hager got the hot tag from Jericho and cleaned house. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, did Jericho just get a tag? What's going on? Like, that's totally breaking the formula, right? So, you're right. It was a busy pick and pick for sure.
I love Hager in this with those killer clotheslines. He does those wicked clotheslines. He was all over the match with those. At one point, Lambert interferes. He grabs Hager as he was going after Sky, which allowed Sky to actually roll him up for the pin. So the men of the year get the win here. Hager throws Sky out of the ring, and then Hager and Jericho bring Lambert in the ring, and they're going to beat him up, and then all the fighters come out. Junior Dos Santos, Paige Van Zandt, Andre Arlovsky, Jorge Masvidal is out there. Santos and Arlovsky get in there. They're attacking Jericho and Hager. Even Paige Van Zandt got in there. They're holding up Jericho. She gave him some punches in the gut. Masvidal did a pretty good looking running knee at Jericho. So obviously this angle continues as these guys were totally laid out by Team Lambert at the end of the match.
I did appreciate the running knee. It was kind of a nice callback to the Ben Askin.
Right.
And you just, know what?
It looked good. It looked good too.
It did. It looked good. And like, again, I'm curious to see where this goes. Cause I was actually very impressed that JDS and Arlovsky got in the ring and, you know, like they tried to work. Like it wasn't horrible. Let's just put it that way. Right. Like, you know,
so is that the next stage? Is it, seeing these guys in a match? Are we going to see these guys in matches now?
That's the part I'm not sure about, because it's one thing to get in the ring and maybe, you know, do a hockey fight. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm not sure, like, unless they've been training, I don't know if I want to see Jorge Masvidal or Junior Dos Santos or Andre Arlovsky try to work a match, even with a guy like Jericho or Hager, because yeah, I don't like. Here's the thing. It's an interesting and an intriguing storyline. And like, you know that it's got to keep going because eventually Dan Lambert's got to get his comeuppance, I think.
Yeah. But
I'm just not sure how they do this because, like, I mean, I loved Ethan Page. Like, okay, I'll admit I'm very biased, but I loved Ethan Page in this match. Obviously, it makes sense for Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. They wrestle. But like, again, JDS, when he was fighting Hager, it wasn't horrible, but I'm not going to say it was good either. So very intrigued to see how, like, what's next with this match.
You know what? You know what I think we see? I think we will see an actual MMA fight with one of them against Hager.
Oof. You know what? You mean like kind of like a Lion's Den type match? Is that where you're going with?
Maybe I'm thinking Pancras, maybe, or
yeah,
you know,
okay, yeah, fair enough.
A worked shoot match is what I'm saying, maybe. But I do think they're gonna do that. I think we'll see one of them in a one-on-one with Hager. I think, and I think we'll see the rest. I mean, obviously they're gonna protect him in tags and things like that. But it is good. I'm glad we finally got past the Lambert and Jim Cornette as Bob Kapoor. And now that we've finally got into, you know, the actual storyline, and it's not just Lambert out there cutting those annoying promos.
I'll admit, though, I was expecting Lambert to interfere more. Not that I minded. There is overdoing the outside interference, but I thought he underdid it. He only did it like once or twice. I kind of thought he'd get a bit more involved.
Right. Yeah, no, he's not in this one anyways. No, he was not a real big factor in the match at all. Okay, so from right from this one right into the next match here, this is the 8-man tag here. So we got the Lucha Brothers teaming up with Santana and Ortiz taking on Private Party and the Butcher and the Blade. So, I mean, as you'd expect, the Luchas and Santana and Ortiz working together really well. They did a spot early on where they all did a dive to the outside.
Oh, that was awesome, dude.
on to the other guys. This is another match probably with, you know, you might complain about the ref, the reffing in here if you are so inclined. This was, again, much like the other match, this was all over the place. They did the thing with Matt Hardy. They're obviously used part of this to build up this whole thing of cutting the hair. They, at one point, that I think it was Ortiz had fallen out of the ring. Matt Hardy teased cutting his hair, but then Orange Cassidy came out and he took out Jack Evans, who was there helping Matt Hardy. You know, as for, you know, Penta, Phoenix, Santana, Ortiz, it was all over the place in this match. Crowd really does love the Lucha Brothers. They were going nuts for them.
Oh, and, dude, they were going nuts for Santana and Ortiz too, like the hometown boys. So
yeah, that's true. They were getting
But you're right. When they did like the zero, when he did the zero Maeda thing, like that crowd went nuts.
Yes. Whenever he did that, they loved it. And they basically for the finish, they did the Luchas did the foot stomp pile driver, and then Santana Ortiz did the fear factor on Cassidy. Oh, no, sorry. They did the foot. I guess they call that stuff pile driver, the foot stomp fear factor. Yep. They did that to Cassidy, and then Santana and Ortiz did the street sweeper, and then they pinned him, and they win the match. And no tease of any dissension or any bad feelings with Luchas and Santana and Ortiz. Nothing. I thought maybe they might start a little tease to have them battle for the titles later on, but there was nothing of that nature in this one.
I'm okay with that for now. I think you know, that was fine. I do think though that they still eventually get there somehow.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that again, another really like, again, they did so much in that match. I'm not going to sit here and run through everything they did.
No, we'd be here for, you know, a good 20 minutes.
That's another one that at a certain point you just throw up your hands and go, okay,
we're done. Let me just get the finish and that's good.
But it was exactly what I expected it to be. Tons of craziness. I really do love having Butcher back now too. He's one of those old school guys appearance, and the way he wrestles, like he's so, even from the very beginning, he's always looked so old school in his look and especially the way he wrestles. So I'm glad to see he's back in the mix now.
Yeah. And it's cool because he's not a body guy, but he's just a big rugged looking guy.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Big rugged looking dude.
Very like Ole Anderson, like, Arn Anderson, like guys like that. Lot, right.
Any of those old guys, Stan Hansen.
Yep, for sure.
He's that big kind of he's just a big bruiser, right? He doesn't have to work out. He's just a big guy. Okay, so from here, we go backstage. This is another quick thing coming off the other match. Tony's backstage with Matt Hardy. He's pissed off about Jack Evans. He said it was a tough night, but it's not over. And he said that Penelope Ford was going to take out Anna Jay, and that if Orange Cassidy sticks his nose in our business, that's going to be the end of it. And he challenged him to hair versus hair. But then he said, with Jack Evans, and Jack Evans did not look happy about that at all. So it looks like we're going to have hair versus hair, but Jack Evans versus Orange Cassidy, not Matt Hardy.
Oh, man, like, man, I hope Jack Evans wins. I love that dude. Like, I know it's not going to happen, but yeah. I don't want to see Jack Evans get his hair cut.
Well, I wonder if this leads to him leaving the group, maybe.
I don't know, but man, like when I heard that, I'm like, oh no, I really hope Evans doesn't lose, man. Like that would suck.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just the way that they did it, and you know, obviously, I mean, the Weasley thing with Hardy being part of the character.
Well, I was gonna say Hardy just even said, "You better win," like at the end of that. You know what I mean? So
we'll see. I don't know. I think things might be changing for Jack Evans, maybe. So next up, Sammy Guevara comes out. He's got his cards for the crowd, doing his Bob Dylan routine there. And Fuego is with him as well. And they start showing the cards, and they only get a couple out. And Miro comes out and attacks them both. Miro and Sammy went at it, but Miro kept, taking him out, pounding on him. He threw Fuego off the ramp into a very obvious planted crash pad. But at least, you know, they did protect Fuego in that. And then Miro put Sammy in the game over until the referees could take him apart. So building that up with Miro versus Sammy, which will be on Dynamite next week.
Okay, so let's compare that. First of all, Miro looked awesome, number one. But let's compare how Miro attacked Sammy and Fuego versus the way Hobbs did with the Punk thing, right? So with Punk, you know, Punk gets distracted by Hook, and then he walks to the rampway, and then Hobbs attacks him. It looked kind of set up, right?
Right, right.
Whereas in this case, Sammy and Fuego are doing their shtick, and suddenly Miro just kind of sneaks up behind them. That did not make Sammy and Fuego look stupid. It made Miro look like... like it was like Miro was like he snuck up on them while Sammy and Fuego were doing their thing. Two totally different things, right? And it's like, because like in the next match, like with Penelope Ford and Anna Jay, I'm going to complain about this vehemently. But like this did not make Sammy or Fuego look stupid. It made Miro look like a monster. Totally different thing versus what Hobbs did with Punk, where Punk basically got outsmarted by, you know, Taz's son and Hobbs, but really he shouldn't have, because it's like, come on, you know what I mean? Like I was just impressed by the way they did this thing with Miro. It protected Sammy. It didn't make him look stupid, and it made Miro look like a beast.
Okay. So from there we go to, they had a quick taped Andrade promo with the subtitles. Again, he said, I am in AEW to fight, and he has his assistant Jose, and Jose knows not to interrupt his matches, or he knows he'll get laid out just like what he did to Chavo. He goes, I have honor in my matches. He says, Pac, I will beat you again, and this time you won't have an excuse for losing. So it looks like we're going to get Andrade and Pac again.
You know what? Like, okay, so I'm excited for that match because I like their first one, but it's so weird because Andrade, I think, is a heel, but he's got honor, which is going to make him a babyface. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still not sure where we're going with this.
It's weird because the whole thing with Chavo, exactly. It looked like he was turning babyface. And yeah, this whole idea that, you know, I don't need help in my matches. I want to win them on my own. I have honor. So
yeah, that's a very babyface thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is strange how so far what they're doing with him. I'm kind of confused as well. And isn't Pac sort of the baby face too? Like,
and that's the thing. Like, maybe they're trying to get away from that traditional, you know, baby face type deal. But at the same time, like, again, if Andrade is like, if this is like a slow burn turn for Andrade, fine. But it's just, yeah, at this point, it's almost like a, like, we know he's a great wrestler. You know, we think he's a heel, but again, he's got honor. Usually that's, to me, that's like in wrestling, you know, so to speak, that means that, you know, he's actually a babyface. Like, so mm-hmm. I'm still confused where we are with this.
Okay, so up next was the ladies' match for this show, and it's Anna Jay from the Dark Order against Penelope Ford from HFO. So Anna Jay came up first, and she was already in the ring, and Penelope Ford was coming down the ramp, and Anna actually ran up the ramp and attacked her halfway. So we get right into this one. Anna Jay gets control early. She runs Ford's spine into the apron outside the ring. Excalibur said this is a very aggressive Anna Jay. She had the Queen Slayer on Ford at one point, but then, of course, the bunny came down, distracted her. This allowed Ford to take over for a while. And they ended up doing the brass knuckles finish again in this one, with Bunny distracting the referee, but also throwing the brass knucks to Ford, who puts them on, and she corked Anna Jay and pinned her. The Bunny and Ford, of course, beat on Anna afterwards until Ty Conte comes to the rescue. And then Ford knocks out Conte with the knucks as well. And HFO were out there, and they're kind of waiting for Cassidy and Statlander. And then the Dark Order comes out as well. But the Dark Order, they're there to help, but then it looks like they're trying to reconcile, but then Evil Uno and Grayson walk away from them. So still feeding that story there. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this match was, it was okay. Didn't really seem to lead to anything or do anything, except really, honestly, to just kind of tease this whole Dark Order thing at the end again.
Yeah, my my big issue with this match, well, that's a few of them, but the biggest one was, okay, so Anna Jay gets the Queen Slayer, right? And she's got it on Penelope Ford, and the bunny comes out, and then she lets it go. I'm like, if, you know, like, logically, just keep the move on her and just keep your eyes on Bunny. Like, you don't have to let go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do something that's going to make, like, Anna Jay let that move go, do something else. Like, maybe have Bunny get in the ring or threaten to come into the ring or something like that. But she just stood there. Like, Bunny was just standing there. And so, like, if it was me, if I had a choke on someone and, like, their friend was coming down a ramp, I would just hold the choke and keep my eye on this person. And then if they came into the ring, I'd let go. So right out of the gate, I was like, that was stupid. Like, I just, because again, it's like, yeah, you're making your baby face look stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, yeah, like the other problem too, okay, this is my second problem, is that this match was basically used to further the Dark Order storyline, which I'm still kind of on the fence with, all right? And then number three, all right, you have Layla Hirsch, you have Thunder Rosa, you have Red Velvet, you have, let me think, who else is out there? Like, you have, like, a whole bunch of really good, like, Hikaru Shida's out there, Riho's
Diamante.
Out there, Diamante, Amy Sakara, and you've got Ford and Anna Jay on one of your biggest shows. Like, you don't think they could have put a better women's match there? You know, like, I was, this is why that, like, again, I know that this is a mid-card feud. I get it. Like, you know, but I would just hope that they would try to highlight some of the more, like, popular and, like, right. Okay, no, like, Anna Jay's popular because of the Dark Order thing. Ty Conte, I like, I'm not knocking that, but I just thought, like, this was not the match that I would have put on this card. I would have liked to have seen maybe a higher profile, or, you know, like, let's get a contender match, you know, or, you know what, right. I mean, like, put something a bit more important than this on your Grand Slam show. I mean, like, you know, on Wednesday you had a women's title match in the main event. You couldn't put another high profile women's match on this show. That, you know, this kind of bothered me. Like, again, no offense. Like, I like Bunny's character. She's crazy. Ford's gotten a lot better. I love Ty Conte, you know, Anna Jay, welcome back. It just, to me, this just didn't seem like the right place for this match.
Okay, now on the subject of the Dark Order stuff here, it still seems to be an issue. You know, they can't seem to get together. It still looks to me like someone is coming back. Is this mean to help the Dark Order? Does this mean Paige comes back and they get back together? Or does someone come in new like Brody Lee did and become a new leader?
Well, I mean, again, if you believe the rumors.
Exactly.
Bray Wyatt. Like, okay, if let's go with the fantasy booking. If Bray Wyatt comes in, that makes sense because of the obvious relationship with Brody Lee slash, you know, Luke Harper, right? But it would also make 100% sense if Adam Page came back and sort of said, hey, guys, why are you fighting? You know, and like they kind of hugged it out, so to speak. That would make sense too. I agree. Like, I think it's one of those things where, like, it doesn't look like they're going to come to blows, you know, because, you know, Alex Reynolds, you know, put his hand out to shake Evil Uno's hand. So I think it's going to be someone's going to come in to, you know, sort of reunite the Dark Order somehow. And again, I think Paige and or, you know, if you believe the rumor, Bray Wyatt would be the two front runners for that.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out as well. I tend to be leaning, honestly, more towards the Paige scenario.
Me
than
too.
I do something like a Bray Wyatt. Okay, so they ran down some quick stuff for Dynamite next week. Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole, which should be great.
Yep.
Miro versus Sammy G, which I think also will be good. Anna Jay and Ty Conti against the Bunny and Penelope Ford. And I think there was something else that I missed.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head. By the way, if they do that stupid brass knuckle ending again next week, I am not going to be a happy camper about that.
Yeah, I was starting to think, even when I saw it tonight, I'm like, okay, this is kind of wearing thin with the brass knuckles. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and again, once in a while works, but if you do it every week, and like it was pretty much the exact same ending as like the last time they fought, except that it was Ty Conti that got knocked out first. It's like, come on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, can we come up with something a little better?
Or mix it up. It's like when I was a kid and you'd see the Sheik wrestle, and it's like every single time he came out with a foreign object.
Yeah, exactly.
And you start out to think after a while, it's like, what? Everybody is so stupid that they don't know this guy is going to do this.
Exactly.
He's like, come on, what are you talking about here? And that's kind of where this one is kind of going too.
Yeah.
Okay, so next was Joe's favorite segment of the show, Mark Henry getting to do his thing here with Archer and Suzuki on one side, Eddie Kingston and Moxley on the other. There wasn't a lot said here because they kind of just yelled back and forth at each other.
Archer said, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Well, just a couple of points. Archer said, I'm going to put my big boot in your ass. Eddie, he said he respected Suzuki, but Lance can kiss his ass. Just a lot of yelling here back and forth. Archer was yelling. Eddie was yelling. Moxley said it was the next chapter in the feud that never ends, and it's lights out.
I just thank God for Eddie Kingston. Yeah, I thought he was so funny in this promo. He was great.
Yeah, and poor Mark Henry, man. And at the end there, when like you said last, I think you said on Rampage last week when you did it.
They're trying to get that line.
Yeah,
over, you know, like it's time sounded, for the main event, right?
It sounded so awkward and actually kind of stupid when he said it tonight. I'm just kind of like, oh God, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't like it's. It is going to be awkward for the next little while because, you know, I think he's still trying it out. Like, I kind of liken this back to when Bruce Buffer started announcing the UFC matches. And you know how he does that? It's time, right?
Yeah.
I remember when he first started doing that. It was weird. Like, it took a while for that to take. So, I'm going to give Mark Henry a chance on this. But again, like I feel bad because he was hired to be commentary on Rampage, but he's not there yet. And, you know, to your point that you said, you know, numerous times, like, I don't want to see the guy, like, I don't mind seeing him get better on Dark and Dark Elevation. I don't want to see him get better on Rampage. It's just that's national TV. If you're gonna be on national TV, you got to go from the start. And Mark Henry's just not cutting it right now.
I'm not even sure how much I like this segment. I understand what they're doing each week, trying to make it kind of a sporting thing and put the whoever's on either side in the main event. But I don't think the segments really work that well. So I don't know. Maybe it's just Mark Henry. But this one in particular, I just thought this is stupid. And I also thought, well, these guys are going into the main event next. Do we really need this right before the main event? Like, maybe, I guess, if you did it earlier in the show, I don't know. I don't know. To me, it was a segment that I didn't think needed to be there.
No, like to that point, I don't mind the segment, but you're right. It shouldn't be right before a match. I don't know about you, but I know if I'm going into something, you know, like some sort of event, match, whatever, the last thing I want to do is have an interview 30 seconds before the match. Do this at the beginning of the show. You know what I mean? Or like the second segment of the show where you can say, hey, guys, you've got a big match coming up at the, you know, in the main event. You know, what are you feeling? Right. And then unfortunately, again, you're right. It's Mark Henry. Like, imagine Excalibur doing that, or imagine like Tony Schiavone doing that. Right. JR. Exactly. It would be a different scenario because those guys know how to do that, right?
Mm. Okay, so this led to the main event of the show. Now, did they advertise this as unsanctioned, Joe?
I don't remember that.
Because when Justin Roberts, they go down to the ring and Justin Roberts is there, and he said, okay, coming up, the lights will go out, and that will represent the end of the show, and after that will be the unsanctioned lights out match. And I'm thinking, I don't remember it being unsanctioned.
No, I don't like, maybe they announced it on Dynamite and we missed it, but I don't remember them mentioning it. Like, that's a pretty big thing to not mention, or like, I think we would have remembered that. You know what I mean?
Well, and they've always played it up in the past. I mean, they still talk about, you know, Thunder Rosa beating Britt Baker, but
for sure,
it was in an unsanctioned match, so it doesn't really count. So I thought if you were going to promote it and do one, you should have promoted it. And secondly, also, you have to be aware, you have to be careful with the unsanctioned concept, because if you start to do it too much, it's no good. It's like, what kind of promotion? What, where you're having all these matches that aren't really under the part of the promotion? It's really should be kept for super, super special things. And I don't think it really needed to be tagged onto this match, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, they could have just said like a Texas Tornado lights false
out.
Count it,
just call it lights out match. You don't have to say it's something like
I think that was the problem too. And like, even like, because even I think it was Excalibur was going on about how this is the first unsanctioned match ever on Rampage. I'm like, you've only had six Rampages, like, you know what I mean, like,
exactly.
So
yeah, it was weird. I just think unsanctioned is such a major, major step that you should only use it like once in a blue moon. And it hasn't even been that long since the Thunder Rosa Britt match, right?
Although, as a thought, do you think maybe they did the unsanctioned match because Extreme Rules is coming up on Sunday?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I mean, maybe, but I can't see them even paying attention to what WWE is doing that in those terms. I know, maybe because a lot of Extreme Rules doesn't even seem to be extreme this year. I mean, in terms of that, you're right. I mean, look at it. I think at this point we only have one match and it's an Extreme Rules match. So basically the same thing, no DQ, whatever. So maybe, I don't know. I don't think they would bother though to pay attention really.
Yeah, like, again, I'm just being like conspiracy wrestling fan.
You
now,
are
so.
Phone up Bob Kapoor. You guys can have a conversation about that. So this one, obviously, as you'd expect, unsanctioned. They go nuts. They're brawling all over the place. Suzuki grabs chairs right away. He grabs two. He keeps one, gives one to Moxley. So they just start swinging chairs at each other.
That was actually a very cool spot there.
Yeah. Crowd's going absolutely nuts for Eddie Kingston. They're chanting his name. They're just screaming and yelling whenever he's out there. Eddie and Suzuki exchange chops with each other. Eddie brings a table in the ring, but actually he ends up getting put through it by Minoru Suzuki. There was some weird stuff with Archer just tossing guys around at ringside. I don't even know who those guys were. It's not like a New Japan match where the young boys are all around the ring.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. I mean, they were probably just extras or like wrestlers and stuff. But
no, but of course. But in the terms of the story,
no, that's what I mean.
Why were they at ringside? They were a bunch of guys in gray shirts.
If they had made more of more notice of them during the part. Now you've got a bit of a storyline, but we haven't seen any ring attendance for any match ever in AEW except for this one. And I know they were used in a spot, but it just, I was just kind of like, hey, who are these dudes around ringside?
Yeah.
Other than guys that Lance Archer is just beating up, right?
Yeah, because see, they never made a distinction. Are they fans? Yeah, are they ring attendants? Who are they? Are they trainees of the AEW dojo? Whatever, something. But they told us nothing. He just kind of started throwing them around all over the place. No real reason. I guess that's been part of his character from day one.
Hold on. It is part of his character, yes, but usually he's throwing his opponent into the ring, right? These were just random dudes.
You're right. Remember when he was doing the entrance and he would grab some guy back and just throw him around, right?
Yeah, but again, this just came out of nowhere because he hasn't done it in a while. And again, why are these guys around the ring in the first place? They haven't been there for the entire night, right?
Yeah, exactly. So lots of crazy stuff in this as well, of course, since it's unsanctioned. Archer chokeslams Moxley off the apron onto those guys that he beat up. He picked up Moxley, chokeslammed him onto all those guys. I guess that's the only reason they were there, so Moxley could land on them, I guess.
And that was the thing, when he did that spot, I kind of thought, oh, is that why they're out there? Because it was the only thing I could think of, right?
Yeah.
And then if you think about it, after that spot, he didn't do anything else to those guys.
That's true. Yes. Right? That's true. Yeah. So I think you're right. That was their true function. But storyline-wise, they didn't really give us a reason.
Yeah, they didn't give us a reason,
yeah. They channeled Dusty Rhodes and superstar Billy Graham when Archer took the strap and he was hanging Moxley off the ropes to the floor. I just remember a classic photo of superstar Billy Graham doing that to Dusty Rhodes in a strap match. Or sorry, bull rope match, I think.
Yep.
They went to break, and when they came back, they didn't do picture-in-picture for this one when they went to break. But when they came back, they had taped Moxley's hands behind his back. They were whipping him with the leather strap. So they really had Moxley trapped here. He was just getting beat down. Eddie had been taken out at this point, but the crowd was chanting like crazy for him. Suzuki starts biting Moxley in the head. Eddie finally... What? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that just made me laugh when he did it.
Total Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, total Minoru Suzuki.
Eddie Kingston eventually comes back. He chops the shit out of Archer. And then both Kingston and Mox are laid out at the end here. And Archer was about to do his finisher with Kingston through a chair when Homicide, of all people, comes running out. Well, actually, his music hits and they're looking up the ramp. But Homicide sneaks in from the crowd. He comes in. He attacks Minoru Suzuki. He frees Moxley, but then Suzuki grabs him and tosses him out. The crowd's into it. They're chanting for Homicide. Mox finally is able to get the paradigm shift on both Minoru Suzuki and Archer. Eddie takes Archer, puts him in a trash can, and just hammers the shit out of it with a kendo stick. And then after that, they covered up Archer and they got the pin. And the show ends with them celebrating. Wild Thing is playing. And this, I love this line. The last thing that we heard as the show went off the air, Excalibur says, AEW is the home of professional wrestling. That was the last thing you heard. I thought, what a great thing to end with. And that should become a slogan, you know? WWE has, you know, what the used to have what the world is watching and all that, the recognized symbol of excellence. That should become the AEW tagline right there. AEW is the home of professional wrestling, because we've had to hear it called sports entertainment by Vince McMahon forever. And that really, at this point, believe it or not, differentiates them so much. So I think that needs to, they need to say, hopefully Excalibur uses that line more often, because I thought that was really great.
No, I agree. And you know what? It was a nice way to end the show. Like, even with like Mox and Eddie Kingston and Homicide kind of hugging in the corner there, I thought was, it was a good, like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of like unsanctioned gimmick matches, but that was a fun match, man. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on in that. And, like, you know what, even when they, like, just coming back to when they taped Mox's hands together and they were beating on him, like, I thought, like, that was actually really smart, because it was where, like, they would beat up on Mox, and then, you know, Lance Archer would go out occasionally, beat down Eddie Kingston so Eddie Kingston couldn't get back in, and then they just keep beating up Mox. I'm like, like, they built up some heat with me on that one. I was almost to the point where I'm like, oh, man, like, this is getting bad. You know what I mean? Like bad in terms of this beatdown, like, Mox is getting killed, right? So they sucked me in on that hard. But yeah, like I thought this was a fun match. I'm actually glad that the baby faces won too, because like a lot of heels won in these Grand Slam cards. So it's like, you know, just send the crowd home happy. But, I really enjoyed this show. And oddly enough, and again, maybe this is just my own sensibility, and I know we've been somewhat critical of, you know, certain things on the show, but I might argue that while Omega and Bryan Danielson was like probably the best match of the night, I might argue that I almost enjoyed this card more than I did Dynamite, because I just had much more fun with it. Like, you know, I
would actually argue with you on that one, because I didn't. I liked Wednesday's show better. I thought Wednesday's show was the stronger show. It left a stronger impression on me. I felt Wednesday was one of the best shows they've ever done. This was a good show, but I did not feel it was in the same category as Wednesday.
Oh, no, like, don't get me wrong. Wrestling-wise, yeah, the Wednesday show, like, stronger wrestling, right? You had, again, to me, the two best matches were Omega Danielson and, again, for my own opinion, Omega Danielson, which I don't think anyone will argue with, and FTR versus Sting Darby, right? But I just had, I think what it was, what it came down to, and maybe it was because I'm tired, I don't know, but I laughed a lot and I smiled a lot in this show. I just had much more fun with this show for whatever reason. But again, like, you know, the Wednesday show was awesome too, so I'm not going to knock it. I will admit, though, the one thing that I didn't like about the shows, and this is not a knock on anything, it's just that the commercials did sort of hurt the flow of some of the matches.
Right.
So while you did have a pay-per-view quality card on paper, it was on TV. So sometimes, like especially during that unsanctioned match, for example, that like that last commercial was like, oh no, like we're just getting good now, you know, like. So otherwise, yeah, like great shows. I like both were great shows, though.
How did you feel about the Homicide involvement here? Because Homicide is in Impact right now, is he not?
I that part I'm not sure. I mean, I'm
pretty
not,
sure like, he is. I'll check. But I mean, this is just part of the relationship with Impact, I think. But how did you feel about the Homicide involvement here?
You know what? I honestly. Like, normally stuff like that would bother me, but honestly, I liked it. And I think I liked it because I know the guys from New York, like, you know, like he got a huge pop. It was a nice little surprise appearance. And they had to do something to extricate themselves from that beatdown. Cause both guys are getting beat down pretty good. Right. So I didn't have a problem with it. I had fun with it. I'm sure that, you know, some of the more, let's say, you know, wrestling purist type might go, that was kind of stupid. I just had fun with the card. I had a good time when Homicide came in. I popped, I'm not going to lie. I loved it when he went after Suzuki and Archer. So I, no problems with me. Although I can certainly understand if people didn't like it because, you know, it was sort of like outside interference type of deal, but no problems for me.
So it looks like he was in Impact a couple of years ago, and then he worked in, remember he was in NWA Power there for a bit.
Yeah, I think he's just working indies now. I don't think
he went back to Ring of Honor.
Right.
In March at the 19th anniversary show. He was in the Violence Unlimited group there.
You're right. Yep.
So there you go. So I would assume then that if he's perhaps done with Ring of Honor, then he's maybe going to be full time here in AEW now.
You know what? I would not imagine a trio, you know, faction of John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Homicide.
Exactly. exactly. The three of them together. Yeah, who knows? Maybe that is what happens here. I would think so. So
that would be fun, man. That would be fun.
All right. So yeah, overall, I think both shows, like you said, did a great job. Very entertaining shows. And yeah, we'll see where they lead from here. But Joe, I'm going to warn you, I think next week's show will have more promos.
Well, at least Dynamite will anyways.
Just so you know. Alrighty, anything else to add before we put this one to bed in the wee hours of Saturday morning?
No, I mean, I'm glad that it wasn't a promo heavy show, and I'm looking forward to see how they branch things off. Especially like I'm really looking forward to Adam Cole Jungle Boy. I think that'll be a great match. But yeah, like it just looks like they're, they're sort of moving forward with some storylines. Again, very fascinated, very intrigued by this potential Nyla Rose, Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa thing. So yeah, let's go, man. I'm ready to see what's next.
All right. So for this week, I'll be joining Jay on Sunday afternoon. We'll do the show and we'll do a preview of Extreme Rules. And then right after Extreme Rules, Jay and I and Mark will be with us with you guys all together. And we'll do the after party, which should be interesting. I'm intrigued what's going to happen in this show because I still can't believe that we're going in and there's only one match that has any kind of weird stipulation. Maybe that's a good thing, or maybe they'll just throw them all on as they introduce each match. But I'm kind of curious to see an Extreme Rules pay-per-view that so far does not look very extreme.
You know what? That may not be a bad thing though.
Like, right. You're right. Exactly. It might be for the better, right?
Yeah. Like if,
how much do we talk about they just toss on gimmicks because it's the Extreme Rules show, right? So yeah, maybe they won't do that this time.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're gonna it's same with Hell in a Cell. Like I like the Hell in a Cell, just not when it's every match. But if you have one match that's a Hell in a Cell, and there's a reason for it, cool, let's go. But yeah, like I'm very curious to see what this Extreme Rules thing is. Like I'll admit I haven't really been keeping up with the product, but I mean I'm gonna watch it and see what's up.
All right, so that's it for us, folks. So we'll be back again on Wednesday with the Dynamite Rundown. And until then, everybody, as always, the old fox, thank you for listening.
Tough guy.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/snmeradio. Don't you dare miss it.